Good morning, church family. Thanks for being a part of our service. I'm excited that you're here. I'm excited to be here. I can't wait to get into God's word with you. Before we do that, here's what I want to say. It will not be long before we'll be meeting again. We are preparing and planning for that reopening time. We are going to use our best judgment as we continue to move forward in accordance with our local authorities and with our governor. We are excited to get to meet together again soon, but next week on Mother's Day, we are going to have one more drive-in church service, so bring your family, bring your car. It'll be set up just like it was at Easter, and you'll get to stay in your car for a service and hear us over the radio. You'll get to sing songs, and you'll get to hear the word preached from the parking lot, and it's going to be a fantastic time, so don't miss out on that opportunity as we embark on another drive-in church service next Sunday on Mother's Day. And I am looking forward to that as well. But right now, I'm excited to be here with you now. We are in the middle of a series that we're calling In the Gap. And today, if you have a Bible, and I hope you do, I want you to open it to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 9 is where we're going to start. We're going to eventually land, as you can see behind me, on chapter 16, but we're going to start with chapter 9. So if you would get your Bible and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 9, that is where we will begin this morning. Over the past couple of weeks, we have seen people in Scripture that have stood in the gap for their people groups, for family members. We saw Nehemiah stand in the gap for the city of Jerusalem as the governor, as they were struggling to rebuild the wall. We have seen Mordecai stand in the gap for his cousin Esther as she was preparing to be queen and stand in the gap for an entire nation. And today is going to be no different. We're going to find a person in Scripture that stands in the gap and for a group of people, but he doesn't know it whenever he's doing it. So it's going to be a little more... It will be something that we have not seen before, but it will be something familiar to many of you, and I'm excited to share it with you, so let's get started. When I say David in Scripture, when I say the name David, what comes to your mind? There's a lot of things that could come to your mind, the first being a shepherd. Maybe you think poet. Maybe you think giant killer. That is one that most people think of whenever you hear the word David. How about ancestor of Jesus? There is so many things in Scripture that point to that. But whatever you think of, one of the things that you might think of is king. I want to pick up David's story before he is anointed as king in 1 Samuel chapter 9. And so if you'll turn with me there, 1 Samuel chapter 9, let's start reading in verse 15. 1 Samuel 9, starting in verse 15, says this: Now a day before Saul's coming, the Lord had revealed this to Samuel, saying, About this time tomorrow, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him to be prince over my people Israel. And he will deliver my people from the hand of the Philistines, for I have regarded my people, because their cry has come to me. When Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, Behold, the man of whom I spoke to you, this one shall rule over my people. You see, the nation of Israel was under oppression at the hands of the Philistines, and they had been crying out for a king to save them. And the Lord hears their cries, and he sent Saul to rule over the people and deliver them from their bondage. Now, Saul had a great opportunity here to be one of those divine gap fillers that we've been talking about. Saul had an opportunity to stand in the gap for the nation of Israel. And because of his rebellion, because of some bad choices, because of his selfishness, and because of jealousy, if you could keep reading the story, you'll find out that he blows that chance. He ruins his opportunity to be one of those divine gap fillers. After one such instance, we pick up his story. This is King Saul in chapter 15. If you'll turn with me to chapter 15, starting in verse 23, it says this: For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and insubordination as iniquity of the Lord. He has also rejected you from being king. You hear that? He has rejected Saul from being king. because of his bad choices, because of his decisions, because of his rebellion and sin against the Lord has rejected now the person that he has called to do this task. He has said, you know what? I now reject you as the king. As a rejected king, Saul will need a successor. In his sovereignty, God had already planned that person, and he had already set that in motion. Pick up 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1. It says, now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you grieve over Saul? Since I have rejected him, remember we read that, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel, fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have selected the king for myself among his sons. God has already selected a successor. God has already planned in his divine sovereignty a person that would come in and be king after Saul. We did not read this, but you could go back and read. Saul was pretty much the poster child for a king. He was tall, he was handsome, he was strong, he was just impressive looking, but that might have been the end of his strengths. That might have been where his strength ended. Because outside of his looks, outside of him looking the part of a king, he really did very little to be a great king, particularly in the sight of the Lord. Our strengths are what makes us useful. Our weaknesses make us usable. I want to say that again. Our strengths make us useful. Our weaknesses make us usable. He looked the part as the king, but again, he did not do things well as the king. And now he has a successor in line, and he doesn't even know it at the time, but the Lord has anointed another person to succeed him. And this is where we get introduced to David. Now, I'm always amazed when I read the next couple of verses. Look at chapter 16 in 1 Samuel, starting in verse 12. David is anointed. It says, so he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy with beautiful eyes and handsome appearance. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. And then verse 13, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. And Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Now, I want to think about this phrase in chapter 16, verse 13, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David. This is, it translates to the word rushed. The Spirit of the Lord rushed onto David from that day forward. Have you ever been in a situation where that rush comes? And the only thing I could really think about that is outside of a spiritual context of the Lord filling you with his presence would be like a roller coaster ride. If you go up the hill and you kind of have that anticipation, you get started and everybody's all cheery and chirpy at the beginning of the ride. Let's go, let's go. And they say, all clear. And they start the ride. And then here we go. We're off the first little hill and around the corner. And then we start up the hill. Click, 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 click. And this happens, and you are down the hill, and you are rushing, and things are going well for you, that, and you are having a great time. Now, if you think about the Spirit of the Lord rushing over you, and it stays with you from that day forward, this is what we read about in verse 13. Remember, he took the horn of oil and anointed him, and in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Now, this does not mean that David did not mess up. It does not mean that you and I will not sin from this day forward if we ever have this happen to us. If the Spirit of the Lord comes over you and you are filled with his presence and his Spirit, it does not mean that you will not fail ever again, because we can clearly read in Scripture where David has failures. But it does mean that God has set David apart. It does mean that he has been set up to succeed. It does mean that he has been set up to do some good things in the name of the Lord. Now, you might be thinking, Brother Adam, I really haven't seen anybody standing in the gap yet. And that's okay, because I'm glad that you're still here and I'm glad that you're still watching, because what we're going to find out in just a moment is there is going to be some gap filling that takes place. Let's take a look at verses 14 and 15. Now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and the evil spirit from the Lord terrorized him. Saul's servants then said to him, "Behold, now an evil spirit from God is terrorizing you." Wait, what? An evil spirit from where? From the Lord has now come onto Saul. The Spirit of the Lord has departed from him, and a spirit from the Lord has come to torment him. Now, before you begin throwing your computer around and having a fit like this guy, and before you start tar and feathering me for saying that the Lord can send an evil spirit, we just read it. Here's the beauty of this. If you believe that God is the creator of all heaven and all earth, if you believe that God created everything that we live in, that you breathe, everything in the earth, over the earth, under the earth, and everything in between, if you believe that to be true about God, then God also created the evil spirits. And the beauty of him being the creator of these things is, as the creator of these spirits, he also has control of them. What we read in 1 Samuel 16, starting in verse 14, about an evil spirit that controls or that torments Saul is something that is from the Lord. Now, from the Lord, what does that mean? Remember, the covering of the Spirit of the Lord has been removed from Saul, and the evil spirit from the Lord has been put on him. Now, I do not believe always this is the case, that because of Saul's actions and his disobedience and his problems that he has had up to this point, because of all of those things, I do not believe that it is always the case that we get an evil spirit put on us, or that God would allow that to happen. But in this case, I do believe that it correlates. Because of Saul's problems, and because of his disobedience, and because of his lack of following through with the Lord's commands, he has now been riddled with this evil spirit. And it is from the Lord. And so really what that amounts to and what that translates to is, it is a spirit from the Lord that God is allowing to torment him. Remember, God is the creator of all things, and therefore, as the creator of all things, he is in control of all things. And just because he is in control of them doesn't mean that he will stop them. And so in this moment, he is allowing Saul to be tormented by this evil spirit. Now, there are other places in Scripture where this happens, and even this is in the Old Testament. You say, "Brother Adam, this only happened in the Old Testament." Not true. In Acts chapter 5, remember, God allows Ananias and Sapphira to be filled with the spirit of Satan as warning and example to the early church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, a man in the Corinthian church was committing incest and adultery, and God commanded the leaders of that church to hand him over to Satan to destroy his sinful nature and save his soul. And so this is not... doesn't come without precedence, and it does not just happen in the Old Testament. You see, God is truly in control of all things, and he uses those things for his purposes. Now let's look at 1 Samuel 16, starting in verse 16. "Let our Lord," the men say, "let our Lord command your servants who are before you, let them seek a man who is a skillful player on the harp. And it shall come about when the evil spirits from God is on you, then he shall play the harp with his hand, and you will be well." So Saul said to his servants, "Provide for me now a man who can play well, and bring him to me." Saul is being allowed to suffer at the hands of a destructive spirit, and the people around him say, "Let's go find somebody that can play the harp. Let's go find somebody that can play it so well that when the evil spirits come on you, Saul, you are going to feel better." Now, insert David. David, the shepherd boy, This is God's provision for him in this moment, and that he would provide such a way that David, as a shepherd boy, would get access to the king and the kingdom. Isn't that always the case when we actually sit down and look for these kind of things? It's always the case, somebody's misstep, somebody's misfortune, somebody's bad decision, somebody's misadventure almost always leads to an opportunity for us to do ministry. It leads for an opportunity for us to interject truth and God and hope and love into a situation. You see, this is where David is at. He is at a place where he plays the harp well. He is handsome, and he makes the king pleased. And so because of his strengths, it makes him useful to the king. Now, we would learn later that his weaknesses are what make him usable for kingdom work. But this is an opportunity for David to step into the role of being a divine gap filler for the king who he would soon or one day succeed on the throne. He stands in the gap. He stands in the gap for King Saul. Look at verses 18 and 19. Then one of the young men said, "Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite, who is a skillful musician, a mighty man of valor, a warrior, one prudent in speech, and a handsome man, and the Lord is with him." So Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me your son David, who is with the flock." The king asked for David to be brought into the kingdom. The king asked for this handsome, well-spoken harp player that is a warrior and mighty in valor to come and be a part of his kingdom, because he doesn't know that he needs him so much, but he also, what he does know is that he wants to feel better when the evil spirit comes. And David is an answer for that question. What's going to make me feel better when evil comes? David stands in the gap for him in that way. David's talent made him available for something that would one day become something so much greater. I want to keep reading verse 22 and 23. It says this, "Saul sent to Jesse saying, 'Let David now stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight.' So it came about whenever the evil spirit from God came to Saul, David would take the harp and play it with his hand, and Saul would be refreshed and be well, and the evil spirit would depart from him." David would stand in the gap as a comforter for the king. He would stand in the gap for someone that had been rejected spiritually by God as the king. And then one day he would succeed that king and sit on the throne as King David. You know, God often puts people in places and times in our lives to fill gaps. And the gap filling always happens on his divine timeline. Remember Romans 8:28, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for the good, to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." Remember, all of this has been set into motion long ago. As Saul was being rejected as king, David was being brought up to learn how to play the harp and be a warrior, and his looks were just given to him. And so God had ordained all of this and set it all in motion, because that plan was the one that was called according to his purpose, so that Saul could be rejected and David could be brought in, and then David would have an in into the kingdom. And God would choose whom he would anoint at different times and different places, and how David would stand in the gap for Saul. And then David would go on to defeat Goliath and begin the process of liberating the Israelites from the Philistines. And God chose David long ago because his timeline is the only one that matters. God was in charge of all of these things. He was in charge of the anointing of Saul, the downfall of Saul, the anointing of David. He was in charge of the evil spirit that came over Saul. He was in charge of the spirit of the Lord that rushed over David. He was in charge of it all. And he was in charge of putting it in motion. You see, divine gap filling has to be done on God's timeline. It is never about us. It is never about what we're doing for another person. It's never about even whom we're filling the gap for or how we're doing that. It is always about God's divine timeline and the things that He has set in motion and the things that we can do to make a difference in someone's life because of God's divine timeline. You see, often we are put in a moment where we do not understand what God is doing. We do not understand why we are being allowed to be tormented like Saul. We do not understand why we are being groomed and put in a position like David, even just to fill in the gap for somebody that's being tormented. We may look at it all from a horizontal viewpoint and say, I do not understand. But you see, God's timeline is always in motion. God is always on His throne. He's always in control, and He desperately wants you and I to be a part of His sovereign plan. He allowed David to be a part of that divine gap filling for Saul. And you say, well, that's really not as great of a story as some of the things that we've talked about in divine gap filling. I say, I understand and I agree, but this is where it all began for a king that would one day be one of the greatest people that we write about in Scripture. This would be just like you and I. We always have an opportunity to stand in the gap, but it has to start somewhere. David's gap filling began by standing in the gap for a king who was being tormented by a spirit from the Lord. What will your story begin with? How will you begin the story of standing in the gap for someone today? Not tomorrow, not next week, not 6 weeks from now. How will you and I begin our story of standing in the gap today? Let's take a page from David's and just be obedient. You say, if this is what you want me to do, God, then this is what I'm going to do. And I'm going to trust your timeline, and I'm going to trust your ways, and I'm going to believe in the sovereignty of God, and I'm going to believe in the control of all that you have and all that you are and all that you do. Will you stand in the gap today? Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this morning. Father, thank you for allowing us the opportunity to be in a place, to be a part of a divine timeline, to be a part of your plan. God, if we are to be found obedient in these things, then God, would you be honored and pleased and glorified because of our obedience. Father, if there are people that are hearing this and watching this, God, that need a divine gap filler, would they reach out? God, would they take their phone? Would they take their computer? Would they find a means of reaching out to us and saying, I just need some help. I just need someone to stand in the gap for me. I need somebody to pray for me. I need somebody to be a part of my life. And most importantly, God, I may need you to be a part of my life. Would we be able to find those kind of people today to reach out to? Father, would you allow each one of us as believers, God, to be so encouraged and so influenced in such a way that we see the needs around us and we begin today standing in the gap for those that are being tormented, for those that are suffering, for those that are lost and hurting and broken. God, we have to start somewhere. And it might be something so simple as just going to be a comforter for someone. But God, that would start our story of standing in the gap for generation after generation after generation. Would it begin today? Father, we love you. Thank you again for our time together. In Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Friends, thank you for being a part of our service this morning. I cannot wait to see you back in the sanctuary with me, to see your faces, to get to smile with you and laugh with you and shake your hands and hug your necks. And I just cannot wait to get back together. And I'm looking forward to that. I will see you next week in the parking lot at the Mother's Day service, the drive-in service. It's going to be a fantastic time. So bring some friends, bring some family. Enjoy the day with us next Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Have a great day this morning in the Lord, and I will see you soon. Bye-bye.